That was, is this one shown on your, do you have a version? All right, so good, you can see it. So this is a very typical, these are typical curves. So this shows a transfer time against message size. The message size here is 1 million bytes, and here is a message size essentially of 1 byte. And you see here the message time is essentially flat. That says that if the time is T0 plus T1 times the number of bytes, here we're dominated by the T0 terms because you don't see any byte dependence. Up here it's linear because you're just seeing the T1 times the number of bytes term. This is logarithmic here. And here's the transition time. So you can see that for most of these systems, which the transition time between the linear and the constant domain is somewhere between 100 and 1,000 bytes, which in words is between 25 and 250 words. So around 100 words. So that says the typical startup time for these systems is about 100 words. And of course that's why that in compiler technology it's extremely important to group messages together. You want to get them in this, you want to get your message traffic to be in this part of the domain, the linear part of the domain, because it's in the linear part of the domain where you're going to get the best performance. Because if you choose to send 100 messages of let's take this example here where we have 100, so if we did 100 messages each of 100 bytes, that would take a total of 10 to the 4th microseconds. Alternatively, we sent one message of 10,000 bytes and came up here. It's about a factor of 5 smaller. So you want to get out of the domain where your startup time dominated, because that's obviously going to have huge overheads attached to it. So it's extremely important to design your algorithms so that you have large messages. And so that's one of the major goals of compilers. And reason is very hard, and it's typically extremely hard because of these comments I made with fine grain and coarse grain. If you look at most problems, the natural granularity of parallelism is something like a grid point. If you look at a grid point, the natural amount of communication is 4, well, small number. And so the natural unit of parallelism in nearly all problems has a very bad ratio of is always in the latency-dominated regime. So it's extremely important to group grid points together to make these medium grain size objects. And that's what compilers or users have to do. You must not write your program. The world's simplest program, and if you read all these nifty papers on fine-grained machines, they'll always write these very beautiful programs with the very fundamental elements as the things, you know, as the things that are the objects. And those are the prettiest programs. The trouble about those pretty programs is they have lousy performance. And so you have to do this relatively ugly thing of gluing lots of grid points or lots of fundamental entities together, because then you get this edge over area effect, which has two advantages. You reduce the amount of communication, and also you increase the size of messages, because the natural size of a message in that Laplace example was root n. If I have n points in a node, the natural thing to do was to send a single message, which was the row, which was all the points stored in one processor needed by another processor. So that was the square root of the grain size in such a problem. So that says if the grain size gets bigger, the natural size of the message also gets bigger. So it's essential, therefore, for two reasons, to decrease the needed bandwidth and to decrease the latency, to have as large, to have large grain size and not use this elegant, natural form of parallelism. And so, if you like, one of the goals of data parallel programming is to write algorithms which address these fundamental entities, which are the grid points, or be it arrays of grid points, but to let the compiler group those grid points together into the optimal size so that you get these good performance.